Chris Kershaw tipping pitches. CJ, how does the hitter see that and take advantage?
Well, first and foremost, Chris, if it did happen, it always happens when the pitcher is in the stretch. Rarely can you pick up pitches when a guy is thrown from the windup, and that's what we saw in that seventh inning.
It has been so long since we've talked. I think it's 3 weeks now, and by the time this episode comes out, it'll probably be a little bit longer than that. So long, in fact, that Archie Bradley, a Major League Baseball player, a very good Major League Baseball player, literally shit his pants in the time that we were gone. We leave for 3 weeks, and players are shitting their pants.
I love the cause and effect there that you made it sound like. Like, we haven't talked in so long that Archie Bradley shit his pants. Like, he was waiting for the next tipping pitches, and it didn't come, and he was like, I guess I got nothing left to do. But
if you search Archie Bradley on Google and then you just go to the news tab, the first one is Diamondbacks Archie Bradley spins scoreless eighth inning. And then the second one is Archie Bradley reveals he pooped his pants during a game this season. Why? Why did he have to reveal that? He could have kept it to himself.
You know, who among us has not been in that kind of situation, though? You're at your workplace, you're having a stressful day, maybe you had a burrito for lunch or something like that, and then all of a sudden
be having burritos for lunch. She's an MLB
pitcher. You're about to send your article to your editor, and then all of a sudden you're like, ah, crap.
Literally. Oh my god, his quote. I'm just gonna read it all.
Yeah, please read the transcript of what transpired.
I was warming up to go in a game. I knew I had the next hitter. I knew he was on deck. The at-bat was kind of taking a little bit. As a bullpen guy in these big situations, I call him nervous pees. We're like, I don't have to pee a lot, but I know I have to pee before I go in the game. I can't believe I'm telling you this. He had a chance to stop himself. Okay, but then here's the next graph. So it's a 2-2 count, and I'm like, man, I have to pee. I have to go pee. So I run in our bathroom real quick. I'm ready to go. I'm trying to pee, and I actually shit my pants. Like, right before I'm about to go in the game, I pooped my pants. I'm like, oh my gosh. I know I'm a pitch away from going in the game. So I'm scrambling to clean myself up. Oh my god.
Jesus Christ. I respect him for just...
off by saying, Mike Fetter says, hey, you're in the game, so I'm jogging into the game to pitch with poop in my pants, essentially. painfully honest.
That's what we've been talking about, right? Is baseball players just being more open and honest about their feelings and emotions and occasional body malfunctions whenever necessary, right? This is what's going to get people more engaged and interested in the game.
I guess. I guess, yeah. Young people can relate. Very, very Deadspin. Young people. Babies. They're going for that demographic.
Deadspin managed to pinpoint that apparently it sounds like maybe the game was May 5th. Putting together the context of the outing that he pitched and the extended 2-2 count before he went in. And the scoreless inning sounds like May 5th is the culprit.
I love that Deadspin launched like an investigation into this.
Yeah, I think Fangraphs did a whole article dedicated to it as well.
It's very Deadspin and not very a Fangraphs thing to do, but a very Deadspin thing to do.
But you know what? Why not? It's the middle of July, and we know every team that's going to make the playoffs, basically. So we might as well figure out when this major leaguer pooped himself.
Yeah, we know every team that's going to make the playoffs because baseball is dead. Baseball's dying, and it's dead. It's never coming back. So speaking of shitting your pants, that's what the A's did a couple nights ago. Asking you to go on a rant about this.
You know, I was kind of hoping that your transition out of this segment was going to be that I said, we pretty much know what all the playoff teams are at this point. And your transition would be like, well, except for the fact that we don't know whether or not the A's will make it into the playoffs because they're all of a sudden contenders. But no, you went for the A's, shit the bed. Yeah, they were playing they're in the middle of a 4-game series against the Astros, which like is relatively big because they are trying to make up ground in the AL West. And it would be a real statement for them to take, you know, at least split a series with them. They ended up taking 3 out of 4, so I can't complain. But I can complain about the way that game 2 ended, because oh my god, most of you have probably seen this by now, but the A's had staged like a 4-run comeback in the 9th, sent the game to extras, and then it's the bottom of the 11th, and the Astros are causing mischief, as they do, and they tie the game up.
Causing mischief. I love it. We should describe baseball things more in terms like this, causing mischief.
Yeah, so they were causing mischief, and they tied the game back up after the A's had taken the lead. And so Alex Bregman's at the plate, and there are runners on, I think, first and second. And so Alex Bregman, Blake Treinen throws the ball, and Alex Bregman swings the bat. And the ball
goes, as they both do.
As they do on most days. And on most days, this might be a normal play, but the ball goes almost literally nowhere. It rolls about 6 feet in front of the plate. It rolls foul and then rolls fair. And so Jonathan Lucroy springs up and he picks up the ball with his bare hand, as you're taught to do. And he reaches out and tags Alex Bregman with the ball in his bare hand, as you're not taught to do. And he drops the ball. And so he picks up and throws the ball to first place. And of course it goes into right field and the Astros walk off. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Two errors on one play. This was like, I felt bad for Jonathan Lucroy because like, I'm a fan, man, big fan, but oh God, this was painful. What? Use two hands to tag him. When do they ever tell you, yes, reach out and tag him with your bare hand? It's very easy and there's no chance that you'll ever drop the ball. Why would you do that? Oh my God. This is a travesty.
I describe this as something that I would be mad if my little league team did. Meanwhile, a team that is making a push to the playoffs did it in a very important game against another team that they have to catch to make the playoffs.
Seriously. Oh, God, yeah. I'm like at a loss for words still. You're bringing me back to this night. I have like PTSD. First of all, dumb play in the first place. The ball rolled foul. Yeah, I was watching this live. So like roller coaster of emotions as the A's have been held scoreless for 8 innings. And then
wasn't
come
it like
back
really
to,
late?
Yeah, this happened at like 1 a.m. or something like that. I wasn't not going to.
I can see you getting so fucking mad.
I was yelling. I was throwing couch cushions.
God, your poor neighbors.
Yeah, honestly. My poor girlfriend, frankly.
She was there.
She was like, shut up.
That's so good.
Yeah, this was dumb. This was a dumb play. We'll put the video in the description because you just have to watch it if you haven't seen it, because frankly it's an experience. It's a real roller coaster.
Bregman is like kind of confused when he doesn't get tagged, you know, like he tries to avoid it, but then when the ball drops he's just kind of like, oh. And then he takes off, and then Lucroy just sails it into right field. It's not anywhere near the first baseman.
No, it was bad. And what this video doesn't show is that on the previous play, there was a play at the plate where Marcus Semien got the ground ball and threw it to home to get the runner. And he had him shot, and Jonathan Lucroy just dropped the ball. So in a span of like 7 minutes or something like that, yes, I think you could say that Jonathan Lucroy shit the bed.
Oh boy, I'm sorry. But then again, at the same time, I don't feel that bad for you because at least your team is relevant.
Yeah, man, 11 games over 500. 5 games back of the Mariners. Damn, the A's are good.
Hold on, just incoming from John Heyman. Phillies are said to be, quote, serious in their many pursuit, and are thought to be running ahead of the Yankees and maybe most others at this point. Also in Brewers, Dodgers, D-backs, and Indians. If you were right about this, I'm going to be furious. more furious than you were about that A's play. I am going to yell and scream so loud that you hear me all the way from the West Coast.
Yeah, I have no vested interest in the Orioles or Manny Machado or the Phillies, but I really want Manny Machado to get traded to the Phillies right now. It's really the only thing that would bring me any more joy.
I will fly all the way back to New York just to punch you. this will be the biggest test on our friendship.
I'm sure you saw, but yesterday was a great day for baseball, or at least for Mets fans, because your boy Chase Utley's retiring.
I thought you were going to go with my boy Noah Syndergaard came back, so I guess it was a good day on all fronts.
Oh, yeah, well, that's good, too, and he looked
a rare good day for Mets fans these days. He looked very good. But, yeah, I did see Chase Utley retiring. Did you see Kike made a joke that Chase was retiring to spend more time taking care of him because he became his, like, surrogate father or something like that?
There was a photo being passed around of Kike and Utley with like a with Chase Utley's face on Kike Hernandez's shirt. I was like, this is the only good instance of Chase Utley.
Yeah. Chase Utley, good riddance. Adios. He's retiring at the end of the year though? I think he's playing out the rest of the year. He's not doing one of those A-Rod situations where he's moving to the front office. He's not good anymore, but he's still getting hit by pitches, and that's pretty good to have coming off the bench.
Yeah, it's not bad.
If you have a wild pitcher in the game, you can just bring in Chase Utley to get beaned.
He's a real pinch hitter, I guess. Pinch hit by pitcher.
I'm going to let you keep going.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Go for it. Speaking of Kike, speaking of the Dodgers, I haven't been to Dodger Stadium yet because they were away last weekend and they're playing the Angels this weekend, so tickets are crazy. But I did see being passed around on Twitter and on Instagram, Kike's, I guess he got engaged a year ago. And so he was posting about how like 1 year has passed. So he was posting the photos again. And God, they are perfect. We have to link to them. I hope that everyone listening has seen them. But it's just like he's wearing tight overall shorts with like a white t-shirt underneath. And the sleeves are like cuffed. And he's wearing like white socks and his... And they're making like funny faces in all of them, and
they're like in a park,
yeah,
they're like in a children's park.
There's one where he's like leapfrogging her, and then there's another one where he's like standing in the front of the frame, and she's standing in the back, and it's making her look like she's like a little miniature figure.
It's really good stuff.
It's truly art. It's very. I'm extremely disappointed that no one has showed them to me at this point in my life. Like, people have failed us.
Yeah, my mom texted me and apologized for not sharing them earlier because apparently she knew about it before either of us.
Yeah, well, your mom is up on the Dodgers and probably up on all things baseball. She probably knows more about baseball than us.
I know. Why isn't she running this podcast?
Your mom just comes in for a quick spot to give us that straight knowledge.
If Kike Hernandez is not your favorite player in baseball at this point, I don't know what you're doing. Like the only other possible answer is Francisco Lindor, and that's it. I will accept no other answers.
When I went to go see the Royals, they're playing the Indians, and every time Lindor came up to the plate, I was like quietly cheering because I don't want to cheer too loud because the Royals fans are crazy, my dude. They are insane. They have nothing else except Royals baseball and Chiefs football.
Yeah, and that's rough. In the year 2018,
they got their World Series though.
Yeah, you should have rolled up in your Mets hat.
I really thought about it. I got scared. It wasn't even that I got scared. Like I didn't think like a Royals fan was gonna beat me up or something like that. But I just didn't want to deal with the like, oh, remember 2015? How's Matt Harvey doing?
Which, for the record, he's doing really well right now.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's posted like a 2.3 ERA in like his last six starts or something. His velocity's back up.
I like how the New York Post is still writing about him.
Are they really?
Yeah, I searched Matt Harvey, top stories. Matt Harvey racks up another win as deadline approaches. New York Post 13 hours ago. God.
They will never. It's like, you know, it's like that ex that like you keep checking their Instagram and you want to let go, but it's going to take a couple years before you can finally just let it go.
They need a new Matt Harvey. How long? Oh, yeah. There it is. He just won his fourth successive decision and is 4-1 with a 2.38 ERA over his last six starts.
A 3.64 ERA as a Cincinnati Red.
He's still not striking people out.
I think he's gonna. I mean, he's gonna get traded again. I think is the scuttlebutt.
I think he probably hopes that.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think he's having very much fun in Cincinnati.
I don't think anyone is ever having any very much fun in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati gets a bad rap. It's kind of a cool city. I drove through there on the way out here. Yeah. It's okay.
All right. So you had a drive across the country. You trekked to California.
Yeah, and we should say the reason that we haven't talked in 3 weeks is because I did that.
Yes, pretty much. So you've been getting settled in LA and, you know, you're doing some cool stuff out there, whatever. You have a cool job. Yeah, that's all fun and nice. But the important stuff was the baseball that you saw along the way, obviously.
Yeah, everyone who's asked me about, like, at my new job, everyone who's asked me, like, where I'm from and stuff, and they asked me if I drove out here, and I'm like, yeah. And they were like, how's the drive? What'd you do? Did you do stops? And I'm like, well, you know, I stopped in Kansas City to see a Royals game. I stopped in Denver to see a Rockies game. And they're like, oh, I see where your priorities lie.
They're not bad priorities.
No, they're not.
So which one was better, first of all? Which one gave you the better experience?
That's a tough question. I don't know if it's that binary, but I think the better experience in this specific instance was the Rockies game, probably. Because the Rockies, I mean, they're a little better. I know they're not, like, in playoff contention or anything like that. But they were playing the Giants, and so there was, like, a little bit of a rivalry there. I don't think the Royals are good enough to really care about having a rivalry with the Indians right now. The Indians are just better. No. Like, extremely better. And they showed it. The Indians was... It was fun to see the Indians. And the Royals Park is very beautiful. It's inset into the ground a little bit in the way that, like, when you're sitting in the stands and you look out to the outfield, there's like a big hill that like leads up to a major freeway, but then like beyond that freeway there's like a really pretty view of like the skyline, the sunset, I guess, like plains. I don't really know what you would classify it's Missouri. It was really pretty though because it's like a very open outfield, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's not like a lot, there's like a big scoreboard, but then the rest of it, it's like you have like a nice view of the outfield and like the skyline in that way. Whereas I feel like a lot of ballparks are very cluttered, or at least a lot of ballparks that I've been to are very cluttered because, you know, like going to a game in New York, it's just like a building or like a subway or like JFK.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like planes flying in.
Yeah. And not to mention that like a lot of the stadiums are built up so that you can't really see out anyway. Like the Coliseum is like that. You know, I was having a conversation with someone on Twitter the other day about that, about how the Coliseum would be so much better if you just tore down the majority of the stuff that was in center field and let you actually see like Oakland instead of these monstrosity seats that no one ever uses anyway.
Yeah, why don't they do that? I don't understand. I guess because it was built for football, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, looking at photos of Kauffman Field, it's kind of nice. You have like the rolling hills in the background.
That's what I meant, man. I told you the plains. Yeah. You laughed, but it's pretty.
Oh, when you said plains, I thought you meant like airplanes. I was like, I guess if you want to look up and see an airplane flying overhead,
planes like P L A I N S, my guy.
I gotcha. Okay.
I was so tired when we were at the game. And so, like, probably by, like, the fifth inning, I was like, who's batting? What team is this? Who's good on this team? But I had, like, pretty good barbecue at the game, which is cool because, like, Kansas City, it was, like, 105 degrees at, like, first pitch, which was insane. Christ. I was, like, right in the middle of that heat wave. I followed the heat wave all the way from Philadelphia to California, and it stayed with me for the first, like, week that I've been in California. It just stuck. It was, like... I was driving through parts of the desert and it was like it said like 117 on that little temperature gauge on my car. And it was not fun.
We were texting like a couple weeks ago when it was really hot. And I was like, yeah, man, it's hot out here. And you were like, yeah, man, I'm dying in LA. And part of me was like, all right, you've been there a couple days. It's like 95. Yeah. And then I went and checked the weather and I was like, oh, it's 107 there. Okay, yeah. I'm dying on behalf of you.
Yeah, I wasn't playing around, man. I wasn't being dramatic. It was serious. But yeah, so Kansas City was really cool. I was really tired, and like our hotel was like 20 minutes from the park, so it was like not as downtown centrally located. And then we did a Rockies game the next day, which was a lot because we had to leave pretty early to make sure we were going to make it to Denver in time for the game. Because even though we had like the time change, I think the Rockies started like 6 p.m. as opposed to 7 p.m. like usual right. teams. And so the Rockies Park is really cool. And downtown Denver is, I think, very cool. I just drove around it like before and after the game, so I don't really have a sense for what the people are like really, or like when you go in to a place, what it's really like. But it's one of those like quintessential downtown ballparks. The lines to get in, I'll say, this is a very specific review of the park, but the lines to get in were insane. We got there like 20 minutes before the game started, and we didn't even make it in to like top of the second.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like, the lines were like wrapping around the block. Oh, and there was really only like one or two ways that you could get in. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a hashtag noob and I didn't know where I should be entering. Maybe I should have been going into a different entrance, but still.
You know what we should start doing is like, before either of us ever goes to a new ballpark, we have a following of 1,600 people on Twitter. And I'm assuming we have at least a few people from each fan base. We should just like reach out and just be like, hey, we're going to Angels Stadium this weekend. What do we need to know? Like, tap into our fan base, man.
That's an excellent idea. And I could have done that with Austin, who's been on the program, who was at the same game that I was at, who I met in person for the first time afterwards, but I just didn't. He was like, I texted him and I was like, yeah, we're in line. I'll let you know when we're in. And he was like, yeah, lines are crazy, dude. Like, all right, I probably should have asked you about this earlier. But the Rockies fans, I thought, were really fun. The Royals fans were diehard and like they are fanatical. But the Rockies fans, they really enjoy this team. Like, even though they're not as good as they were last year record-wise, they love Arenado. They love Charlie Blackmon. Oh my God. They do this thing where he walks up to Your Love by the outfield. And you know where it's like, it has that little riff down into the like tonight. Tonight. That part?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like a little pause right as he's walking up and they shut the music off right at that little riff and the entire crowd sings it instead of them playing it.
I need you to sing it for me right now on the podcast. Just 20 seconds. Just belt Your Love by the outfield.
I'm not going to. I will edit it in, but I will not sing it. But I think that's really fun. I think there are probably some people like baseball traditionalists who would be like, all right, guys, why are you doing this? But I personally think that it's a really fun idea and keeps the crowd involved.
Yeah.
And then their rendition of
like Sweet Caroline or something.
Ha. Call them out. Roast them. Their rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game was very good. Very good.
Really?
I know that that's like not something that you would really think about could be better at one place than another, but they were going all out, man. They were like drunk at a karaoke going all out. People were like yelling it. And when it's like root, root, root for the home team, they were like root, root, root. And then everyone screamed for the Rockies. Like, I was like, damn, you guys like your team too much.
I love it, man. I think it's the thin air up there. You know, you get a little lightheaded. You get a couple beers in you. It, I guess it gets into your bloodstream quicker. I don't know, man. You just like, you start feeling it by the third inning. You're rocking and rolling. I like it. I respect it.
Yeah. They served me the largest hot dog I'd ever seen in my life. It was like foot long.
That is incredible, because those jumbo, massive, huge hot dogs that they gouge you for like $12 usually end up being like, you know, 6 inches. And I'm like, all right, bro. Yeah.
I got it's just like a Rockies dog or whatever. And yeah. It was like $6 and it was massive. It was like comically large. I could barely carry it back to the seats. And of course they're like, their Coors Field, so they have Coors beer like every 5 feet. You can't go anywhere without running into like a Coors distributor.
Naturally.
Yeah. So I bought in. I got myself a Coors.
I think that every stadium should have something like that that reflects something about the name of their ballpark, you know? So like at Citi Field, you can sign up for your Citi card every 5 feet. And at Wrigley, they're just handing out packs of gum as you walk in, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that'd be a fun gimmick.
At Citi Field, you can rip off poor people and crush the proletariat.
Yeah. There you go, man.
So I haven't been to any games out here since I've gotten to LA. I probably will go to Angel Stadium before I go to Dodger Stadium because the Dodgers are going on a long road trip and they're expensive. They're here this weekend, but they're expensive if you don't buy them in advance. So, and something is telling me that the Angels not quite as expensive.
Yeah. You're going to get to see Trout, though. That's exciting.
I know. I'm going to get to see him on a semi-regular basis.
Scout Ohtani for me.
All right.
Go watch batting practice. See if he actually hits 500-foot bombs.
I will. I will do that. LA's been cool since I got out here. No baseball yet because I got out here Friday and started working on a Monday, and I had to recover from a cross-country road trip.
That's reasonable.
All right, enough about my road trip. When we come back, we're just going to do some updates about, I guess, the All-Star weekend. We'll see. I'm so bored with you. All right, let's talk All-Star game. Let's talk Major League Baseball. Let's talk how it's not fun. What do you think about the All-Star game?
The All-Star game is not that interesting, frankly. It's, I guess, interesting in that, like, I'm going to watch players that I don't normally watch. Like, I don't watch many Angels games. I don't watch many Nationals games. Like, I'll get to see players, but it's not like it means anything, right? Like, they stripped the meaning of the All-Star game from any correlation to the World Series, like home field advantage.
So are you someone that supports the All-Star game meaning something, though? Because that's also kind of dumb.
I think it makes it at least slightly more interesting. There are no stakes.
Let's have it
now,
out, man. You know? Let's have a DH argument about the All-Star game.
I guess I would like it to mean something. Like the NBA All-Star game is equally dumb because no one plays defense because no one cares who wins, right? And so the game ends up being 170 to 150 or whatever.
Yeah, it's our first stab at the NBA ever.
the flip side of that is they make All-Star game weekend All-Star weekend interesting because they have all the celebrities that are there and like the celebrity basketball game and the dunk contest is interesting, I guess. I don't know. It feels like more of a spectacle. Like no one watches the All-Star game if you're not a baseball fan. And I would wager that even some baseball fans don't really care.
So do you think like a solution for that is just including all of the fun players regardless of performance? Because like, okay, so there was a Bob Nightingale article, our man, USA Today. MLB All-Star Game. Yes, Bryce Harper deserves to be there because it's all about enjoyment. And then he was talking about how the All-Star Game doesn't count for anything anymore and how for that reason we should just put the players that fans like.
God, I really don't want to agree with Bob Nightingale.
Do it. But yeah, like, see that? I put you in between a rock and a hard place.
I kind of don't disagree, right? Like, I want to see Bryce Harper at an All-Star game. There was, you know, you obviously have a vested interest in this because Brandon Nimmo was a candidate to, I mean, he has played better than Bryce Harper over the course of the season. But in the long haul, I think that Bryce Harper is a better player than Brandon Nimmo.
How dare you?
Would I rather see?
How dare you?
I'm sorry if that's blasphemous, but like, I want to see if we're going to make the All-Star game fun, I want to see the players who make the game fun. And like Bryce Harper, regardless of the season he's having, is like a fun player. Like, it's not like, like most of these guys are going to go 1-for-4 anyway, or like 0-for-3 with a walk. Right. So like,
because they're facing really good pitchers.
Yeah, exactly. So I want the players, I guess, who have the most outgoing personality or who will actually do something interesting. I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on it?
I just think it's hard. It's hard to fix the MLB All-Star game because I don't want to say fix because there's not really anything wrong with it other than that baseball is a slow sport, which is fine. That's not a critique. Often people use that as a critique and I'm not using that as a critique because I love baseball. But baseball is a slow sport that is prone to only being cared about when you care about the team. And these aren't teams. They're like Frankenstein teams that get assembled in a slightly different way every year. And so I don't know if there is a way to like... The NBA All-Star game, I think, is fun at times because it has like a pickup basketball vibe. like the fourth quarter of last year's NBA All-Star game was really fun because people started trying, the score got kind of close, and I was seeing players play with people that they probably never will play with ever again. You might see a second base shortstop combo turn a double play that you wouldn't see, but that's so rare. Like that might happen once in a game. Like I might see LeBron throw an alley-oop to Anthony Davis in the NBA All-Star game, and that's just exponentially more fun because there's more teamwork that goes into that game. And so at the end of the day, like you're still just watching a baseball game. And if you don't care as much about the players or who wins, why do you care? Unless you're a crazy baseball fan.
Yeah, it's just like inherently biased against baseball because like you're not going to watch one game that you're not vested, that you don't have a vested interest in, especially like if you're one of your players isn't featured prominently. You know, Blake Treinen is the A's representative and Jed Lowry made it in as an injury backup. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I'll watch the seventh inning of the All-Star game to see if Treinen faces a couple bad. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I'll watch it when Jake pitches. I mean, I'll probably watch the whole thing, but I will watch it intently.
Right. Frankly, I mean, I'll probably have it on. I'm not going to be watching it very closely. I'll probably be making dinner while I'm doing, you know, like the Home Run Derby is a way more interesting challenge than like the All-Star game. I don't know.
I'm excited that Sean Doolittle made it.
Yeah, me too.
Because he follows us on Twitter. Just going to keep throwing that in whenever I can.
What they should do is like just add one element to the game of baseball that changes things entirely. And so everyone is just like thrown off the playing field. You know, before we went on the air, you were like, add obstacles. And I'm like, yes, just like let loose a handful of dogs on the field who are just kind of running around. Or you let loose a bunch of...
dangerous for the dogs.
Yeah, that's true. You let loose a bunch of dogs, but make the baseball a dog treat. And so they're all just chasing the ball, and it's just absolute anarchy. And you don't want to like kick a corgi as you're rounding third on the way to home, right? Like I would watch the shit out of that, man.
I would too, but I don't think very many other people would. Yeah. I don't know, like, are there skills competitions you would want to see? Like baseball skills competitions are boring. It's like, here's this hand-eye coordination drill.
Yeah.
What's the speed that you're throwing from shortstop to first base? That's like what baseball.
Let's watch Mike Trout do T-work.
I mean, the fucked up thing is I would watch that. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know how you fix it. I don't know if it really needs to be fixed. It's more of an honorary thing, I think. And that's probably fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you get 162 other baseball games that actually matter to watch. I think the Home Run Derby is great.
Yeah, the Home Run Derby is fun. You know what? Here's what I'll say. I'll reprise the Home Run Derby suggestion that we had, I guess, last episode 4 weeks ago to the All-Star game, in that one team is full of real actual baseball players and the other team is full of retired baseball players and they just go at it, man. The retired baseball players are going to get demolished because I do not think Randy Johnson can still throw 97. But you know, just throw them out there for an inning and
you want to do this for the whole team.
Oh, the whole team, man. Yeah, right. I want to see like an 85-year-old Willie Mays rolling his wheelchair back in the outfield to make the catch.
What do you think about the idea of like drafting teams like they do in NBA now?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, the fan vote's entirely dumb because fans don't know what the hell they're talking about at all times ever.
So like if you had two captains who were the leading vote getters in each division, like the way that they did it in NBA last year with like Steph and LeBron, Altuve versus Freeman, they go pick by pick. Is that interesting to you? Do you care? Do the players even care? Does Freddie Freeman know the difference between Blake Treinen and Sean Doolittle?
Yeah, well, that's the thing is like, I almost feel like baseball players have less of an awareness of what's going on around the rest of the league. Like if there are pop-up guys who are hitting, you know, like Jesus Aguilar is hitting 300 with 25 home runs. Yeah, do I think that Freddie Freeman has any idea that that's happening? I mean, maybe he does, probably not.
No, and so I don't think that that really fixes anything.
But what you could do is just change the All-Star game entirely. It's not even stars anymore. Let's just go with like, go with your gut. Like, who do you want to just like play with? Like, I want Jose Altuve
Javi
picking
Baez.
Elvis Andrus. Yeah. Or Javi Baez. Just random players. I don't even care if they're good or not. Like, give me Billy Hamilton in the All-Star game.
Love.
Like, why the hell not?
Did you see that catch he made?
I was just about to say that. That was insane. Give me that in the All-Star game. Give me him using his speed to rob a home run that just keeps carrying.
I maintain that the home run robbing competition would be entertaining.
I would be into that.
And also the racing around the bases thing. I want to see baseball players do that funny, like, you know how they often make fans like run in from the outfield, grab a base and run back? I want to see professional baseball players have to do that.
Yeah, like professional baseball players doing all of the between inning activities they do at like minor league games.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is your preview podcast in that it's boring and you probably shouldn't watch it.
Luckily, we don't work for MLB PR.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place.
So let me just say that I would not want to spend a single minute in the Cardinals locker room because, oh my God, that seems like an awful place to be ever. We've had conversations in the last week on Twitter about toxic masculinity in baseball, as we do. And so we are we're bringing back our beat of talking about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
And this in particular story is spurred by a piece in The Athletic by Mark Saxon from a couple of days ago. And it's about Bud Norris and Jordan Hicks and Mike Matheny and the fucked up Cardinals, man. Apparently, Bud Norris has taken it upon himself to really just get up the ass of rookie reliever Jordan Hicks, who throws like 97 and is really good.
97? Try like 101. He's the guy who hit 105 earlier in the year.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so, but you know, Bud Norris is just an old school guy. And so he's just riding the hell out of Jordan Hicks and like being on him if he's ever like late or something like that. Calling him out on like really like tiny details, you know, on the stuff that apparently, quote unquote, a visitor might not notice, but other players do. So really, to sum it up, he's just kind of being a dick. And
a red ass.
Mike Matheny. Yeah, a red ass, yeah. And Mike Matheny is super chill with all of this because Saxon asked him if Hicks will ever appreciate this. And Mike Matheny chuckles and goes, probably not, but Bud's going to continue to do what he thinks is right as a veteran, so you respect that.
Oh.
My response is, yeah? You just respect it? If Bud Norris is like, hey, I'm going to punch this dude in the face because he was an hour late to practice, Mike Matheny's response is, hey, man, he's just doing what he thinks is right. I'm not going to get in his way of the player relations going on here.
To that I say, I mean, sure. I guess Mike Matheny's right, man. That's why the Cardinals are so good, and Mike Matheny has been such a great manager this whole time. That's why they've never had any issues.
Yeah, Mike Matheny goes on to say, I think the game, this is pristine Mike Matheny quote. I mean, who else, right? He goes, I think the game has progressively gotten a little softer. Man, it had some teeth not that long ago.
Ugh, fuck that.
Yeah?
Fuck that guy. Really? Fire Mike Matheny into the fucking sun.
Absolutely. And to his credit, Saxon also asked Hicks what he thought about it, if it will one day pay dividends in his career. And Hicks goes, I have no idea. No comment. So clearly he doesn't like this. It's not some teammate ribbing where he's like, yeah, you know, Norris is kind of a hard ass sometimes, but you know, he keeps me on that grind or whatever. Hicks is clearly like, yeah, this guy fucking sucks, but I just got to suck it up because I'm a rookie. Like, why is baseball like this?
I just don't get the idea of alienating your rookies for some like shitty veteran. But Norris sucks.
I know.
Like,
not to mention, like, we cannot ignore the racial aspect of this either, where Hicks is black and Norris and Matheny are white, right? And just being like, oh yeah, well, he's just, you know, riding him to like make him better.
He's it's just
like,
sticking
why,
to tradition.
Why aren't you? Yeah, it's like, oh, come on, man.
I don't understand why older veteran baseball players feel then, I guess psychologically I sort of understand it, like seeing the clubhouse slip out of their grasp. But like, I don't perceive young players to be the, especially young players now who have gone through the rigorous training that they've gone through, who have from a very young age been schooled in how to play baseball and how to be professional. We've talked a lot on this podcast, and plenty of people have talked a lot about how athletes now are a lot more polished, especially in the media, in terms of just like the process of being professionals, because they knew that it was, this was like an opportunity that they might have their entire lives. And I just don't see why in 2018 we still need to have the locker room police for young people. I don't think young people, rookies, second year players, people between the age of 19 and 24 are coming into the locker room and like getting ready to destroy it. You know what I mean? Like, they're not having like hookers brought into the locker room and going crazy and doing drugs in the locker room. I don't perceive that to be a thing that is happening in the media landscape that we live in. And so I don't see any other reason for this from Bud Norris other than that he is a very insecure middle-aged white man who sees the game slipping past him because he's not very good anymore. And he sees Jordan Hicks, who is much, 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 much better than him and much more interesting than him and has had much more coverage in the media. And he's like, I want to exert my toxic masculinity on this guy in any way that I still can while I have a manager who is going to appease this behavior.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And yeah, Matheny abets this whole thing and has Norris, or just has his, like, you know, quote unquote veteran players give him updates on like when a player's out of line or something like that. So Matheny has these guys just be his little snitches, and then Matheny, I guess, uses that to fine players if he wants to. I mean, it's oh my God, it's just top to bottom. This is the most Cardinal story ever.
It's also, and like, in what world is Bud Norris the guy who's the enforcer in the locker room? In a locker room where Yadier Molina's in there, one of the most iconic leader figures that a team and a franchise has ever had paired.
Bud Norris like has half a season of being a decent closer because the Cardinals have literally no one else, and he's like, well, I'm just the fucking shit now, I guess. I get to tell everyone to do what I want because I'm basically Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah, I don't know. Fuck.
I don't know.
Fuck Bud Norris and anyone who's snitching.
Yeah, honestly. This was like there was a story that came out literally last week that featured Cardinals GM John Mozeliak basically just shit-talking Dexter Fowler, because he just signed a big contract with the Cardinals like last year, and now he's not very good. And Mozeliak came out and was basically like, yeah, man, people are like telling me, like, are questioning his effort and his energy, and like, I can't defend him on that. And it's like, no, that's literally your job, is to defend your player because he's your player and you employ him.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What an awful, toxic organization, man.
Yeah. Everything we say about the Cardinals is for a reason.
Yep, pretty much. It's all true. Like, just when you think maybe they've turned a new leaf, nope. They revert back to the old standards of racism and dickishness.
Cardinals baseball, racism and dickishness.
That pretty much sums it up.
All right, let's take another quick break, come back, and talk about our man, the hero, the MVP of the minor league baseball season. For headline,
hit me with it.
TMZ Sports: Tim Tebow's mom, Tim's ready for the majors, and we're so proud. Noted.
I like that. I like that slight imitation of his mom.
Yeah, you like that? I'm a voice actor now.
Tim's ready for the majors, man.
Okay, they found her at LAX. This video of her is just like in the terminal. She's just standing next to the cars. I'll play some of the audio probably in the podcast, or we'll put the link in the description. But she says, we're partial, so we would vote him to go up to the majors, but it's not up to us. You're right, Mrs. Tebow. It's not up to you, but it should be. Timmy never had any bitterness. He had such a great attitude because he believed it was God's plan for him. God's plan, shout out. And then we just all supported him because he still had a competitive drive. And he just still wanted to play baseball. So baseball was second. So why not try it?
Honestly, she is not wrong. Tim is ready for the majors, man. We talked about how we can make the All-Star game more interesting. Have Tim frickin' Tebow. If Tim Tebow was starting in center field come Tuesday, I would watch the hell out of that.
I've never agreed more with you on anything. I was debating whether to say more or less, but I think I fell on the more side. I'm with you.
He not only was he featured in the minor league All-Star game this past week, but he doubled in it, man. So
yeah, he went 1 for 4.
Yeah, he's cemented himself in Mets lore at this point, and frankly all that he really needs is to get called up to the majors.
He's not that far off. We say this every time, so we're not gonna have this conversation again, but we just wanted to keep you updated. Mrs. Tebow thinks Tim's ready, and we think that she is an unbiased observer of the situation who has definite MLB scout credentials.
You know, we've been on the same page with her from day one, man. We're actually in cahoots with her. We should have her on to get her scouting opinion of her beloved son. They gon' tell the story, shit was different with me. God's plan, God's plan. I hold back, sometimes I won't,
yeah. I feel good, sometimes I don't, like, don't. I finesse down Western Road, like. All right, let's wrap it up. You got anything else to say to the people?
Enjoy the All-Star game, if that's a thing that can happen. Hit us with your suggestions to make the game better.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. We've been gone for a little while. We hope to not be gone this long again.
Yeah, we're gonna get back on a regular schedule, is the hope.
See y'all soon.
See you next week. Bad things. It's a lot of bad things that they wish and 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 on me. Yeah. Hey, hey. She say, do you love me? I tell her only partly. I only love my bed and my mom. It's not like it means anything, right? Like, they stripped the meaning of the All-Star game from any correlation to the World Series, to World Series, like home field advantage.
Whoa. It was an airplane? Yeah, airplane just fly that? Through your apartment?
That was so loud. What the fuck, man?
Insanely loud. God's plan. God's plan. I can't do this on my own. Hey, nope. Hey. Someone watching this shit close. Yep.